The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier, Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Columbia.
It's that time of the week again, folks. It's me, your host, Richard McCall, here in Bogota, 2,600 meters closer to the stars. And what a week it's been. Has it rained every single day this week in Bogota? Has it rained? I mean, you know, if we were in England, they'd say, we had all of November's rain in one day. You know, that's the sort of reports that would come out. But it's been, I mean, it's diluvio is the word here in Colombia for what has been happening. And now, finally, towards the end of the week, we started seeing some sun. But it was a miserable week weather-wise. But that will, you know, that will go. It's a certain time of year. We don't have seasons, but things get wetter, things get drier. Here in Colombia, here in Bogota, of course. And I see out there in Medellin that the lights are up, and so that's one of the big events there for Medellin. It's the annual Christmas lights along the river. If you can get out to Medellin, or for those of you out there listening in Medellin, of course you know well that these lights are a major source of pride for the Paisa people. And yeah, here in Bogota, they're putting up the Christmas lights already. We're not yet into December, and I was had to make a mention of this because I was in Carulla, you know, the supermarket here, and it was already Christmas jingles on the overhead tannoys in the supermarket. It's too early for Christmas music. But here on Columbia Calling, we are not the Grinch. We will celebrate Christmas, and we are approaching Christmas, of course, and I've got some great shows in the pipeline for all of you out there. But today's in particular is quite a lot of fun because we've got the Bogota writers on the show. Now, three of their lot are coming along to speak to us about and to tell us about the Bogota writers, this creative writing group. And of course, one thing that they've all got in common is that they are here in Bogota. They have published a book, and we will learn more about this later on in the show. We're going to be joined by Juan Manuel, Monica, and Clara, and they'll be talking to us about their, you know, relative inspirations and, of course, Bogota. And I always have that question, you know, if you know, we all have these phrases about different cities, don't we? What's Bogota's phrase? What is it, can we say? And I like to think that Bogota cries out, believe in me. So, you know, this is an open forum for those of you who have heard the show, who know Bogota, who want to come to Bogota, to get in touch with us and tell us what you think could be Bogota's sort of like catchphrase. So mine is, believe in me. Anyway, so, yeah, get in touch with us. We're on Twitter at Columbia Calling. And indeed, we have email as columbiacalling@gmail.com. And our website, you can get through to us that way. That's columbiacallingradio.com. So we're always there, and we're getting a lot of emails here and there asking, you know, for different people on the show, but I'm pretty much booked up till the end of the year. So we've got some good ones in the pipeline. I'm hoping to get a Canadian gentleman who's thinking of, you know, starting a beef jerky company here in Colombia. At some point, we're going to have Emma Lang and her partner, Julian, who are the Great British Cider Company. And indeed, we're going to get blogger Jessica Wong, who's half Chinese, half English. So we're getting a good background of, you know, a mixture of people on the show. What's been going on in Colombia? Well, everything has been dominated completely by the kidnapping of this general Ruben Alzate in the Chocó. Yes, what was he doing? We don't know. He will be made to answer to the Senate, a congressional hearing, I imagine. But anyway, he was kidnapped by the FARC, and so the peace talks have been, you know, momentarily suspended. As soon as he's out of captivity, as soon as he's liberated, the peace talks, the dialogues that have been going on since November 2012 will recommence anyway. So fingers crossed for the positive outcome of this. And let's not forget that his two companions, as a captain and the lawyer Gloria Urrego, and of course the two soldiers, the two sort of, let's say, squaddies kidnapped in Arauca, close to the border with Venezuela, who have been in captivity for almost 3 weeks now. They are no less important, and our thoughts are with the families, and we hope that these can all get back into the swing of things, and that the peace dialogues can continue, because we have to peg our hopes to something. We can't be negative about this. So anyway, we'll be coming up with the Bogota Writers Group after this short break. Get in touch with me if you're interested about anything or hearing from anyone. And tell me what you thought of my most recent editorial in the city paper, Bogota City Paper, which is my conspiracy theory about Juan Manuel Santos, the president, and the former president, Alvaro Uribe Vélez. So let me know. I'm Richard McCall. This is Columbia Calling. We'll be right back after this short break with the Columbian.
And we're back. This is Columbia Calling. I'm Richard McCall, and we're here with the Bogota Writers Group. That's a group set up here in the capital of Bogota to, I think, flourish and to promote writing and creative writing. And we're here with three members of this group. And a few weeks ago, I was kindly invited to come and be a sort of guest in their writing club, let's say, and talk about some of their essays and stories that they've done. But so we're going to get them here on the show and talk about this cultural event. So we've got three members of the Bogota Writing Group. We've got Juan Manuel, we've got Clara, and we have Monica. So welcome on the show.
Thank you.
We're happy to be here.
very good. Now, so who wants to tell me how this group came about? Clara.
Okay. I was visiting authors one day. Authors used to be only English bookstore,
yes,
meaning that they only sold books in English. I stopped by and I asked what kind of events there were, and they had this Bogota Writers that had started like the year before. And all you had to do was register. You didn't have to pay. You didn't have to be a well-known writer or anything. So when I joined the group, the group had been, let's say, writing for about 6 months to a year. So they told me that if somebody quit, I could start. And apparently it was started by an American who had arrived in Colombia and who used to belong to a creative group in New York. And she also visited authors, and she wanted to start something like this. And so it was very informal, and that was the nice thing about it. You didn't have to be very professional. It could be people who had never really written, and we had certain books that we read to learn about, for example, how to set the mood or how to set the atmosphere, and we did exercises, and then everybody would submit a story, and then the group, at the time there was like 9 or 10 people, would comment. That's what I know about the group and how it started.
It's great, and it's survived all these years, and it sounds like there's a limited amount of people, so it's only the people who take it seriously. And although I'd like to say, you all write in English, but all three of you are Colombian. I mean, this can't be easy. Who wants to comment on writing in a second language? It's like Joseph Conrad.
Yeah, is for me is, well, is difficult, because of course sometimes you have the idea, but words doesn't flow as easy as your native language.
Yes.
So that's like the difficult part. And I also struggle a lot with tenses. And Clara's always pointing me, or not pointing, but telling me, hey, watch out with the tense, because you have to keep the structure. If you're on the talking about the past, keep it on the past. Don't. So that's the, like, the difficult thing for me.
Well, honestly, if you forget some of the tenses and the punctuation, you can make it like James Joyce's Ulysses a bit, just drop some ideas out there. But of course, it must have improved your English massively by, you know, by doing this.
Yeah, of course. I think that every one of us have improved our English.
And how did you come to get to join this group, One Man Work?
It was really funny. I was also, I like to visit others because it's such a nice, it had this nice environment with the coffee shop right next to it. And so I also went, I was subscribed to the newsletter, and one of the newsletters said that there was going to be a screenwriting workshop. So I went there and asked for it. And they tell me, okay, see, you have to pay, like, I don't remember how much money. So I, when I went there, I met Clara. Clara also took that course. Mm-hmm. And she told me that, okay, we were having a space on the Bogota Writers Group. Do you want to join or visit us? So I went, really shy at the first time. I remember that I had to bring her a piece of in I was like, oh gosh, how are they going to critique my work? But I finally made it. I guess they kind of like me.
Well, you're still here.
Yeah.
You're still here. So several years later. I mean, come
yeah,
on,
it isn't? Must be.
Now so, yeah.
But that's when it was easy to get in. Now it's a lot harder.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's a very specific, very okay. So you've got stringent rules. And who are the people who control who enters and who can't get in?
Well, no. Now it's a group of eight people. You were mentioning about most of us being Colombian. Three of them are native. They're all British, by the way, which is mm-hmm. kind of curious. The rest of us are Colombians, and we have eight people. On a permanent basis, we have one guest writer every 2 weeks when we meet, and we're discussing possibilities of receiving one or two new members to the group. But yeah, commitment I think is key, because this only works if everybody's always writing and always. And we have grown to know each other well, and we know our styles, and so people don't take criticism. You know, they're not offended by what we say about the stories. And it's a nice group dynamic by now, which makes it work, I think. And what we're doing right now is that everybody who is a guest writer has to submit a story, and we also, you know, it becomes part of that process where we give advice or suggestions or praise when it's due, obviously. And it's become very interesting. All these guest authors are interesting additions to the group, and they always bring something interesting with their own stories and the way they comment our stories.
No, you see, I attended one of your meetings, and it was very interesting just how different each person presented writing. And I want to make special reference to someone who's not here today with us, but is part of your group, I think a long-term member, Francisco. And I mean, he's a horror story writer.
Yeah, he's a fuss.
Slicing faces and things like that. I was like, I never thought that would come across, but you know, I always thought it was going to be a bit more rosy. But literature encompasses everything. So, I mean, what would you say your own personal styles are? I mean, because you all come from different backgrounds. I mean, you all were very, very, you know, you have different studies, different parts of Bogota and so on. But what would you say your for example, Clara, what would you say is your prime inspiration for, your main inspiration for writing then?
I like to talk about what's happening in the world. So I think I'm very political in many ways, and I like to talk about social issues. I think, I don't know what my style is. Maybe I like to write in first person and try to put myself in the shoes of someone who's gone through a difficult situation. For example, my first story, which was published in our first collection, is about the false positives, which was something really controversial in this country. And it was something that really, really shocked me, that something like this could happen in our country. And then I have also written about, for example, the women who've been scarred because of somebody who's attacked them with acid, and that's something that really has shocked me. I like to write about this because I think it's important that people are aware of these situations. And the reason that I like to write this is because when I read 100 Years of Solitude, of course, many years ago when it was published, when it was first published. What I really liked was the fact that García Márquez was talking about our history, about la violencia, and about la guerra de los mil días, and many things that were, you know, fictional, but in the end were very, very real about what our country had gone through. So I really like this. I really like political issues that make people think.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I think it's interesting because I have read your piece. I read it somewhere else, I think, or someone had lent me something, or somehow. But yes, it's interesting. But is this also something cathartic for you as well, you know, to write these pieces as someone, you know, involved in Colombian society?
Yes, I feel like sometimes we don't do enough for our country, and I wish there was something that we could do. So maybe I'm mistaken, that writing about it makes people aware, because I think people in Colombia have become numb to many things. We've been through so much, and we continue to be, and people just continue on with their lives. And sometimes I think it's time, it's necessary to think and to think about them, and to maybe think about us as common citizens. What can we do? You know, I wish I were like a journalist like you that could really write about it more. But I'm a teacher. I'm a literature teacher. So I teach my kids values through literature. And maybe I'm thinking that this is what I'm trying to do. I'm not sure.
That's very exciting. Thank you. And Monica, you have comments?
My style, I've been trying to experiment quite a bit. So I like writing first person, third person, female perspective, male perspective. And I've tried a bit of everything just to see where I feel most comfortable. But definitely if I have to define, you know, what my themes are, I'd say definitely it's about how human behavior is shaped by the interactions we have on a daily basis with our, you know, our partners, our parents, our friends at work. And I try to go really deep into the characters and what they're feeling and their emotions and how those interactions affect us and how they shape, you know, the decisions we make and why we do think the things we do and why we, you know, decide one thing or the other. And so they're very emotional.
Yeah.
They're very personal, most of them. I'd say that that's kind of where I feel most comfortable in what I do, what I do most.
Juan Manuel, for you?
Well, I think that my stories are, I like to making like a urban stories, like mm-hmm. almost always based on the city. But I tend to write, I mean, when I sit to write and I start whatever I'm writing, I tend to go with the third person point of view. And I guess it's the easiest way for you to write. I mean, the third person, the that boy that is some kind of god that knows everything and knows is kind of easy. So lately I've been trying to work more with the first person POV because it's a way more personal, and it's, and you have to pay more attention to your writing when you're doing on the first POV.
Okay, very good, very good. Now, you know, you're all published writers because you guys produced a book. Now, this was last year, right? Was it last year?
Yes, in May.
So it's called Authors from Authors. And so sadly, Authors, the bookstore, has closed down. It is a real loss to the Zona G. I mean, and the Diletto, which was next door, which used to be like a haunt of mine, has closed down as well. It would get me out of the house. And Stephen, the owner, you know, he used to live opposite here, so he just shipped off, and so that's gone. It's a literary milestone, unfortunately. It's a literary tombstone now because there's nothing there. But you have this book you published, and each one of you have a story in here. In Clarity, as you said, yours is about the false positives. And so, where can we get this book? Where if people were interested in Authors from Authors, where could they get the book?
Right now, you can find it on Amazon.
Okay, so it's on Amazon, and you've got your own website as well. So the website is
BogotaWriters.com.
So there we go. So that, you know, for those people out there interested in perhaps making the tough grade to be permitted into the Bogota Writers group, you know, get in touch with them, and I guess all of them will look at your email, dissect it, and possibly critique it before responding. You know, if that's the sort of thing it looks like. But no, get in touch with them there. I'm sure there's a contact page on the website. That's BogotaWriters.com. And you guys are going to be working on another book. That's the gossip I hear. That's the, you know, the little snippet of information. When will that come out?
Well, we've been writing stories for over a year for that new book. What we decided after some reviews of this first edition was that it was what they call, which is what might be a generational thing, but it was a mixtape.
Yeah.
So a playlist for the younger ones.
A mixtape.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a bit of everything, and it definitely shows different styles and different genres and different topics of interest. But what we decided to do for this second book is focus on a theme.
Yes.
Or a thread, and that thread is Bogota. So
okay.
It's inspired by Bogota. Obviously, all sorts of different stories in the past and the present. Sci-fi, a bit of everything, but the thread and the theme is Bogota, and that will be out, should be out, first semester of next year.
Okay.
So we've been working on the stories for quite a while now. We have an inventory of at least 6 or 7 stories per person, you know, that are good enough to go in the book. And what we'll be doing the next 2 or 3 months probably is reviewing what stories deserve to go in the book and then start the publishing ordeal.
And we also, what we'll be doing is the rewriting part, which is one of also the most difficult part of any kind of writing.
Okay, well, fantastic. I mean, you know, and I hope this all goes well and everything goes according to plan and it comes out next year, and we'll get you back to look at the book whilst on air. So we're going to take a short break now. I'm Richard McCall. This is Columbia Calling. I'm here with the Bogota writers, Juan Manuel, Clara, and Monica, and we'll be right back to continue talking about this cultural creative writing group here in Bogota. Don't go away. And we're back. This is Columbia Calling. We're here in Bogota with these Bogota. Bogota Writers Group. That's it. I'm going to have a, you know, brain freeze while you're here. So we're here at the Bogota Writers Group, and I'm here with Juan Manuel, with Clara and Monica. And as I mentioned previously, on one occasion, I was a guest at their Bogota Writers Group, and so I got to check out 2 stories and then see how they critiqued it. One of these stories was Monica's, who's with us today, and it was almost a detail of a family reunion, and for me it was uniquely Colombian, or maybe Latino, maybe because, you know, I come from the, you know, Northern Europe, a family of 4, don't know my cousins, don't know my distant cousins, but it just relates to me when you were reading it out, or when I was reading it, it was just like, God, this could be my wife's family, you know. Even in the coast, it's not. We're not saying that this is just Bogota centric. She, you know, their family's up there in Mompox. The grandmother had 12 children who have had. I mean, if you do the flow chart, my wife doesn't know how many cousins. But it's you detail each person, and it's just this. Kind of backbiting. People talk about, oh, she's had surgery, or hasn't she had surgery, or this person's having an affair. I mean, was it actually a genuine recollection of one family reunion, Monica, or was it a collection of many events and many family reunions? Give us a Colombian version of events.
Well, the event itself didn't actually happen, but all those people I know personally, I am related to most of them. That's the thing, you know, if you're talking about a Colombian situation, a Colombian family, those are recurring themes that always have to be included in the story. There's, you know, family envies and gossip, and religion always comes up, you know, because some of them are religious, some are not, so the choices that one or the other makes are always judged by, you know, based on that. Social differences that exist within families, because some, you know, manage to, I don't know, educate themselves better or travel abroad, and so they are better off than the others, and that's always a factor of tension in the families. There are all these things that just come up, and they're common to every single family in Colombia, no matter where you go, what part of Colombia, what socioeconomic level. And so I wanted to depict that sort of situation. most Colombian families are large, as you mentioned. I have something like 60 cousins just on my father's side, because my father is one of 11. So yeah, those things are typical, and then they start marrying, and then they start divorcing, so they have kids with one, and then the other, and then you end up not knowing half of your family, you know, people that you're related to, and so it gives for a lot of comedy, a lot of tragedy, definitely, a lot of sarcasm. So it's a great, you know, thing just to pick apart and start digging deep into a certain character, because some people are just stand out. They're so, I don't know, weird or crazy or conflictive or something. So it's a very interesting thing. Literally, I just picked a few members of my family, and I had story to go on for quite a while.
But I mean, because there were a few of them there, but I mean, it really was. I mean, just detail it out. It was brought to life through that, because I could see it. And I mean, Clara, for example, do you find that religion comes into your work? That, you know, Monica mentioned, you know, that obviously the but if I draw on a personal anecdote, you know, I think my wife and her sister were both educated in private convent schools in Barranca Bermeja, in the interior of the country. And, you know, my wife, she considers herself religious, and I think my sister-in-law considers herself religious. I'm sure she is, but, you know, I don't know her well enough to say that. But my mother-in-law will always say, yes, you see, Angelo has always been the more pious one. You know, mm-hmm. just like that. And, of course, it drives my wife insane. You know, mm-hmm. it's like, I went to convent school, I go on occasion to mass, I do pray, you know, these things. Is this something that comes into your writing, the religion, the Catholicism in Colombia?
All the time, it does, because in many ways it's mixed with the politics.
Yes.
You know, the fact that this is, or used to be, basically Catholic country, and there was a time when the church and the government were one, and the church ruled, and all the behaviors of people somehow were ruled by what the church said. If you read, I go back to García Márquez, he talks a lot about, you know, the hypocrisy of people, and in a way he says liberals and conservatives are the same, except that conservatives go to church every Sunday. But in the end, it's the same thing, you know. And I think even though people have become more liberal, more open-minded in many ways, when I was growing up, because I think I'm one of the oldest members of the group, when I was growing up, religion ruled your life, you know. It ruled your life completely. And not until you went away, I went away to study in the States and have lived abroad, did I realize how, I don't know what the word is, how...
rigid?
How not only rigid,
how
right, yeah. And not only that, how it controlled your life and your thoughts, because you're always so worried about, you know, doing the wrong thing, or, you know, Monica was talking about the family and sin, you know, the sin, that's a sin. Everything was a sin. So you didn't even know if you were sitting properly, because that could be a sin if you were maybe not sitting properly and provoking someone. So it was very... I can't find the word. It was overwhelming, yeah, in many ways. Now I think because more people have come from other countries, and, you know, it's changed a bit, but it used to be, and it does come out, you know, in most of my stories.
Interesting.
Yeah. The culture of suffering and how God will, you know,
punish you.
Yeah.
Well, you're already condemned as Catholic.
Yes, exactly.
It's the original sin.
Exactly.
But now if you suffer, then you'll be paid back. Mm-hmm. In another life, or I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And what can you tell us about your experiences with this?
No, I don't like to treat that subject
okay
too much, because it, I guess that politics, football, and religion always cause a fight.
So, well, mixed with alcohol, of course.
Yeah, yeah. And for example, the other day, now that Clara was speaking, I remember I went to a conference, and the guy who was giving the conference said something like, failure and sin are just human creations.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
It's some of the things that Monica had said, that you're always judged, and mm-hmm. since the moment you are born, you're judged, because
you're seeing, for example, in the last story that I wrote, the principal character went to church. He was walking on a Sunday and decided to enter to the mass, and then decided to confess. But he talked to the priest, and I don't know what was his sin, but the priest just tell him, okay, go and pray five holy Hail Marys and our fathers. And the guy went thinking, so that's it? You can do whatever you want, and they tell you to pray. And at the end, the guy just think, that must be why the world's in such a bad shape right now, because everybody does what they want, and then they pray, and everything gets solved.
Yeah, you've got a point. Mm-hmm. I mean,
but if you start digging that, it could get you can hurt somebody's feelings. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, you've got to be very careful. Yeah. It's one of those very delicate subjects. I'm not going to go into my thoughts. I'm clearly not. I married a Catholic. That was my great martyr behavior. But I will write a story at some point of how I had to go about getting married here. And I didn't really know if I'd ever been baptized, because both of my parents had passed away. So I had to get in touch with a godfather with whom I hadn't spoken in 15, 20 years, who lives on a boat in the River Thames in London. And he had to look back through his diaries from 1976, which he has, amazingly, uh-huh. So to talk about that. And he then was able to say, you were baptized in Portugal. So then my fear was that I was baptized Catholic. It was actually a genuine fear, because then I wouldn't ever have done my, the catechism and then the communion, which I would have then had to have done in about a week. But so then I did a Google search of the map of Portugal and the region, because he said, I can't remember exactly the town. So I did a region, and then I have two Anglican churches popped up, thank the Lord, for Google maps. And I called, and the first one was like, yeah, and they looked it up on the database over the phone and went, yeah, you're here. June 1977, in fact. So you were almost a year after you were born, you were baptized Protestant. Like, all right, send me the document, all right? And they went, oh, of course. And what we'll do is we'll put lots of rubber stamps on it so it looks official.
Oh, my God.
So there you go. So one time or another, I will write about that. But now there's an interesting theme here, and we need to raise it up. It's like, you know, you are Colombians. There are Anglophones in your, you know, let's say, native English speakers in your group. But what is the reaction amongst other Colombians that you write in English? I mean, do they see you as pretentious? I mean, let's discuss that, because it's a tricky topic, you know. Not everyone speaks English.
Right. Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know.
I've never had anybody come up to me and say, well, why do you write in English? It's just weird. I do have a lot of people that have mentioned, especially when we launched the book and they came to the, you know, to the event, kind of admiring the fact that we decided to write in a second language and that we decided to embrace another culture and, you know, yeah, kind of, you know, an act of bravery. In my particular case, I've always written in English because I grew up in London and I learned how to read and write in English, and it just comes more natural to me. I actually tried writing in Spanish. I did a workshop and I hated it. It was horrible. I don't consider myself, you know, I don't know. I write decently. I think I have some good stories, but I hate my writing in Spanish.
Okay.
Hate it. It's awful. It's so difficult for me. So, you know, I think we all have different reasons for writing in English. Some of the people in the group, some that are not even here yet now, started writing because they wanted to improve their English. So it was a challenge. Like, you know, I know enough English to write, but I want to get better at it. So yeah, I think it's definitely interesting and rare, maybe.
Yeah, I think it's rare. Yeah. Any other comments on this one?
Yeah, you mentioned the word pretentious, and I've heard that many, many, many times, which in a way surprises me, because knowing the group, and of course you don't have to give people explanations, nobody in the group is pretentious. You know, we love literature, we love to write. And in my case, the reason I write in English is because I did most of my studies in the United States. I did my bachelor's, my master's, and all my studies I've done in the States. And I teach English in Colombia. So it comes more naturally. And I didn't even think about it. I just started writing. Like when I went to authors, the first time when I told you I found out about the group, is because I like to write it, sorry, to read in English because I want to teach different books maybe to my kids, maybe learn what's happening since we live in Colombia, it's difficult to know what's happening around, and authors was excellent. So it was just like second nature. I wasn't, you know, wanting to be known because I'm Colombian and writing in English or anything like that. But I don't know why people might criticize, you know, this, which to us I think all is something natural.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that I like to write in English because I have read in English since a long time ago. I remember the first book that I read in English was The Lord of the Rings. Uh-huh. But because the books were cheaper in English than in Spanish. Okay. Back then it was like 9,000 pesos in English and the double in Spanish. So I was at high school and I couldn't afford the Spanish version, so I decided, okay, I think I got a certain level so I can read. And since then, I started reading in English a lot, and also in Spanish. But so, and the reason also, I think, is that I, in a period of time of my life, I found this group. I could have found a Spanish group, but no. The Bogota writers came, so that's it.
And they came, they saved you.
Yeah, yeah, they grabbed me from the singing and all that thing.
Are we going back to Catholicism? Yeah. Your confessionary. Yeah. But I think that's very interesting, and I love the fact that your first book in English was The Lord of the Rings. I mean, that's in a whole different language anyway. I mean, it's like with the orcs, yeah, and it, the elves.
And it had a lot of all English phrases. Yes.
Well, because he was a professor of English literature.
Yes,
as well,
he was. Yes.
So therefore, it was all in Bjorn. I remember in the Hobbit and yeah, everything. Oh God, it's just so complex.
And the Beowulf poem. And
oh well, that, yeah, I had to study that at school. Yeah. I think everyone in private school in England had to study Beowulf at some point. It was like, but yeah, oh yeah, well, that's actually fantastic. So we put it. But you know, sitting here in front of you guys and sitting here and chatting, I can also vouch for the Bogota Writers Group saying they're not a pretentious bunch. All right, okay, so let's put that one to bed straight away. They're not a pretentious bunch, very open, very friendly and welcoming. And of course, I think if you wanted to join and you met the criteria, I mean, one of them is, of course, you need to be here in Bogota, you know, on a good amount of time to be able to attend and participate and so on. So, you know, these things are important. These things are important for the consistency and the longevity of the group. Now, so, I mean, we're going to talk a little bit more about literature. We've got another 10 minutes of the show, but we're going to talk a bit more about literature. And one of the questions that, you know, I would like to ask, of course, and I don't know who's going to answer it, or if we do all three, is that, you know, have you ever read something and thought, I could do this, I could write like this, or at the same time, I could never do something this good, you know? I mean, who would you, if you were to take this in and say, and I'm hoping we're not going to reference García Márquez in that, but you know, no, maybe some other writers, but I mean, if you know, who would like to jump in on this one?
Well, I think that most of my friends and people that I talk about literature are totally bored that I always mention a Spanish writer that is my favorite writer, that is Juan José Millás.
Uh-huh. I don't know him.
No, the guy is a genius. I mean, he can take any kind of idea or thought and write wonderful things about it.
Okay.
So.
And what exactly can you name some of the novels, the books, so that the listeners know?
Well, he's known for having created a personal style that is called articuentos, which is some like an article that is also a short story, but with lots of surrealism and
So there's this Articuentes Completos, it's a whole collection of his articles, and it's a really good book.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna have to keep a lookout for that. I'm gonna get you to note him down, and when we you know, I'll put the name up on the Facebook site as well, so people can reference it as
okay.
well. So excellent. Clara, do you have any thoughts?
Well, I don't think I've ever tried to like write like anybody else, or I never thought, I wish I could write like this, or I want to write like this. I do admire a lot of novelists, especially I like novels more than short stories, but I'm glad that we have the opportunity to write short stories, yeah. And I've started to like short stories a lot. I read in English and in Spanish because I do teach both literature in English and in Spanish. But I don't know if it's style that I look for more, but more content mm-hmm. and themes. Since we already mentioned García Márquez, one of my favorite books of all times is To Kill a Mockingbird. It was written by an American writer, and it talks about a certain situation in the South, and it's really a beautiful book. More than, I mean, if I had to talk about her style, I wouldn't know much, except that people say, maybe I shouldn't say this here, but people say that Truman Capote wrote it and not Harper Lee because they were such close friends. It doesn't matter. You know, it's more like the beauty of the story to me more than the style.
Okay. So. Very good. Monica?
One thing that I think I can't do by reading a lot of, especially modern literature, the very kind of young style, young language, when they get into... And when you start seeing things like Facebook and Twitter and blogs, and I can't do that. I wouldn't even try, because it's not that I'm not young, but it's not my language. It's not my style, and I enjoy reading it, and I find it entertaining, and I even learn from it. But I couldn't write like that. I do consider myself a bit more classic in style. A lot more narration, powerful descriptions, strong characters with conflict. So a lot of the stories I've read recently are a bit lighter. The plots are very interesting, but they lack the depth that I really enjoy when I'm reading something. I really need to get into the characters, and you know, they have to make me shiver and make me cry, and that's what I love about reading, and that's what I love about writing. It happens to me quite a bit that when I'm very much into a story and a character that I'm writing, I can cry or get angry, get very physical reactions, and that's what I want in a story.
Fantastic. I mean, for me, for example, you know, it's like if you sit down with a book of George Orwell's essays or something like that, I'll find myself reading back over paragraphs just to look at a turn of phrase or just to look at something. I just like, God, how did he think of that? How did he come round? And then so I can't remember anything off the top of my head, of course. But I think it's fascinating. And everyone has a different background to these things. And so finally, we're going to wrap up now in these last 5 minutes of the show. And writers, of course, you suffer writer's block, you suffer, from all sorts of slings and arrows of great misfortune. And so share with us. So I know that one of the writers in your group is Caroline Doherty de Novoa, the published writer, and she's very well received. And she received an average review online of her book, once. And it just niggled. It was under her skin the whole time. I think if she could have written personally to that commenter, she would have. But what for you as writers would you say has been your greatest setback? We've just got a few minutes, but we'll try and get this in. Clara, first, greatest setback.
What has been difficult is sometimes to be writing about something that has been a topic or a theme or a style that has been given to you, mm-hmm. right? For example, I have to confess that it has been very difficult for me to write mm-hmm. only about Bogota for our next collection, because I read the newspapers and I watch the news, and I would like to write about other things that are happening in the world and not only about Bogota. So I would like to have more freedom of, let's say, of expression in a way. Of course, I like having comments from others, but sometimes it's difficult to, not to accept, but maybe to agree.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I agree with the criticism.
Yeah.
Juan Manuel?
Well, maybe mixing a little bit the idea Clara was talking about. When you write something, whether it's a short story, a novel, or an article, it's difficult to separate some, like on some sectors, like the judgment sector from your criticism sector, from the opinion sector.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you put a foot on one of the sectors without even knowing it, and people, of course, notice it at first, and they go and, hey, why the hell are you saying this? Why do you think about it like that? You're so maybe pretentious because you think your ideas are the one and only word that people must get. So maybe that's...
Maybe that's...
That's it, yeah.
And finally, Monica.
There is one event that marked my life deeply. When I was growing up as a child living in London, I was kind of a weirdo geek, I guess, because when everybody was out in the playground and playing with dolls and things, I was writing. I would take my notebook everywhere, and I would sit down in a park under a bench, I would lie down and write with, you know, pencil, obviously, at that time, no iPads, nothing of the sort. And I would write the day away. I mean, it was the only thing I enjoyed. And one time I decided to show all these, you know, creations to my English teacher, which I thought would be the most appropriate thing to do. And she said to me, well, you know, I think you have too much imagination and nobody's going to believe these stories. There, you know, there's too much fiction. And it crushed me. I was 10 or 11, I don't know. And I was so proud of, I had something like 10 notebooks piled up, and she probably read 3 stories. I don't think she went through the whole thing, but she said, no, you know, it's too much imagination. And how do you say that to a 10-year-old? It's just cruel and mean and horrible, and it completely crushed me, and I stopped writing for something like 25 years.
Oh my gosh.
Until I found this Bogota writers group. They brought me back to life.
It's the confessionary again.
They also save you.
Exactly.
I think that's the most awful story to end on. But it was, it's a happy ending because you're writing again. Mm-hmm. And we hope that the education system in England has improved since then. And anywhere.
Yes.
It's been a real pleasure to have you guys on the show. Juan Manuel, Clara, and Monica. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Check out the website. That's www.bogotawriters.com. I've been Richard McCall. This has been Columbia Calling. Tune in next week, and I hope you've enjoyed the show.
I love that, yeah.